Nothing survives its touch. Nothing escapes its grasp. It is a weapon of unspeakable power and unmatched devastation. A horror from a bygone age.
Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Thursday, September 10th, 2020. This is episode 78. And the weather has changed. Fall came in fast and hard. Well, rather, it kind of skipped to late fall and early winter very fast and hard. It's just kind of weird how not that terribly long ago everyone was melting, and then we briefly had some decent weather, and now it's pretty fucking cold. I'm not really complaining personally too much, though. I don't mind the cold. I think it's much better than melting your ass off during the summertime, so. But, yeah, it's also, as a note, it's September already. I know I put out an episode last week, but honestly, I kind of just had lost track of time and everything else, and we are 9 months into this hellish year that is 2020. It's definitely been an interesting year, both in terms of lots of cool Warhammer stuff and then lots of really uncool real life stuff. But we're not going to get all philosophical and bullshits. We're going to talk about Warhammer. Believe it or not, that tends to be a thing that we do around here. So, but let's go ahead and start off with what's new in my neck of the woods. I mentioned on last week's podcast, namely because it was, you know, kind of, actually, it turned out to not be a really short episode of stuff, but I was kind of rushing to try and fit it in and get it taken care of and out of the way last week because I had a family vacation, and it was quite the successful vacation, actually, I might add, and, we had a lot of fun, and, also got to introduce the kids a little bit more to some more Warhammer lore and, such. I got for my birthday from my wife, I got the Age of Sigmar Munchkin game. I believe I mentioned that in the previous episode. But we finally got to crack it out over the weekend. And not only was it a ton of fun to play, and personally, I think it's a much better, like, the base game anyways is much better than the 40K Munchkin was. You know, the kids seemed far more interested in the characters and the lore and everything else. So we might have to start seeing how far down the rabbit hole we can go with that. Krista and I were actually talking. We're probably going to try playing some AOS together here this weekend, since A, it's been a long time for either of us, but B, we'd like to introduce more Warhammer stuff to the kids, and now that they seem to be at least interested in AOS specifically, we're gonna try giving that a spin next weekend. But we're severely out of practice with AOS, so we're gonna kind of revisit it ourselves hopefully this weekend, and then next weekend when we have the kids, be able to show off AOS to them and see what happens. So the Age of Sigmar Munchkin game is a lot of fun, just as an FYI. I did get the Death and Destruction expansion with it as well. Haven't gone through all of the cards by any stretch yet, so I don't know, you know, how much that really adds to the game overall. The Flesh Eater courts definitely seem to have some cool features. Sort of the Iron Jaws there, they have some cool features as well. Sometimes some of the armies that are in the Munchkin Warhammer games are a little lackluster compared to others. And I mean, that kind of happens with a lot of the Munchkin games with the different classes and stuff, that some of them seem quite overpowered compared to others. In particular, everyone really liked the whole Night Haunt thing, because any bad stuff that killed you, gave you a level instead. which is ridiculous, but whatever. It was actually almost advantageous to try and get yourself killed. So it was definitely weird. And at one point, I think there was five of us playing, and at one point, three of us had the Night Haunt as our army, and admittedly, though, you would think that, oh man, you're going to try and get yourself killed, then that's kind of advantageous. Or admittedly, because you don't get treasure and stuff then if you get yourself killed. Yeah, you would think that it would have come in handy more often. I don't think anybody managed to level up through that process, but everybody wanted to be Night Haunt because it was still a thing. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. And now, back in reality, she's working, I'm working. Although I have been doing more hobbying stuff. I actually, because of this weekend with the AOS stuff, I cracked out some AOS models that I have not completed and decided to start working on trying to build them up. My backlog is massive. Not as big as some people's backlogs, but my backlog is quite massive. So I definitely need to start working on it some more. And admittedly, I really want to do more 40K. 40K is always my first love as far as Warhammer is concerned. But with this renewed sparked interest because of the kids, I'm kind of trying to get back into AOS a bit more as well. So we'll see, though. I only have X amount of time, and once again, I'm working. So kind of hard to fit it all in as it is. So, but yeah, beyond that, not much else new to report as far as what's going on in my neck of the woods. So why don't we just go ahead and jump into the newsy bits, and then we will get into the meat and potatoes after that. So I do want to start off with the newsy bits here by mentioning that Necromunda Underhive Wars is out now on Steam, PS4, and Xbox One. I have not tried it yet personally, but from what I've heard, it is fucking awful. Unfortunately, it's really bad, it sounds like. It doesn't sound like the gameplay itself is necessarily bad. It sounds more than anything else that there is just a fuck ton of bugs, as well as some really weird design choices. It does not sound good. I would definitely say, don't get me wrong, I'm planning to get the game at some point. I want to check it out, but A, I'm going to wait for a sale, but B, I am hugely going to wait for them to fix what the fuck is wrong with it. From what I've been hearing, it's at first it seemed like it was just PC only that was having the problems, because there's plenty of the console dweebs commenting on Facebook posts and crap like that, like, haha, I've got it on PS4 and it's fucking awesome, you guys suck. But the next day after that, there was plenty of console people being like, oh, well, now it's doing the same thing, and now I feel stupid, without admitting that they actually feel stupid about it. But, it sounds like there's a lot of crash bugs. The AI is just beyond stupid, just running around and doing really dumb shit. It gets itself stuck sometimes, and so the game's just stuck. Lots of people reporting issues with save corruptions, where it just flat out all of their progress is gone. And just a lot of awful shit like that. It also sounds like from like a gameplay perspective, the gameplay itself is okay, and good even. But they have it so that the camera watches the AI as they slowly move around and meander everywhere. The whole time, like when it's the AI's turn, you're just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and watching, which is both not so great from a gameplay perspective, because part of what adds the challenge is not knowing where your enemies are hiding and what they're up to. That fog of war aspect is apparently just non-existent, but B, it's just boring by the sounds of it. You just sit there waiting and staring and just waiting for the AI to stop doing what it's doing so you can take your turn. Long long turnovers suck in any game, but in particular when you just have to sit there and watch the AI do stupid shit the whole time, and on top of that it, you know, takes something away from the gameplay, that's just a shame. So I have no doubt that the game will be good at some point, in particular just given the fact that Rogue Factor put out Mordheim, and Mordheim was quite good, but not impervious to bugs, and it sounds like some of the same bugs that afflicted Mordheim have now carried over to Necromunda Underhive Wars. It does sound like from a gameplay perspective, some people have complained that the gangs are just too similar to each other, whereas in Mordheim, the different warband options, the different factions played very differently from each other. That does not sound like it is the case here, unfortunately, with Underhive Wars. So, but yeah, long story short, it's crap from what I've been hearing. Like I said, I'm not saying this from personal experience, but I'm also unwilling to drop nearly $40 on something that I am reading really bad things about currently. So, you know, I'd rather save that money for more models or whatever else. So, I've actually been talking to Krista about finding a copy of Blackstone Fortress or possibly Silver Tower, namely so that we can have a game that's more co-op based and less competitive. As much fun as Munchkin is, sometimes even for me, sometimes the competitiveness, even when I'm playing with my family, could just kind of suck some of the fun out of it. My kids tend to be like, oh, everybody gang up and screw over dad as much as humanly fucking possible. And yeah, it gets a little bit annoying to a point where it's like, I don't even want to play the game now with you guys because you just suck all the fun out of it for me. You know, that it's just shitty when I'm sitting here at like level 2, not even a threat in any capacity, and everyone just wants to dogpile on me just because. It feels bad, it's not fun, and it sucks. So, but doing something like Blackstone Fortress where I could DM the situation while, you know, her and three of the kids play the game itself, you know, definitely sounds like a better time for the family as a whole. And part of it too is that some of the kids also do not handle any amount of losing well. Not just like, oh, well, you know, I'm not winning at the moment. One of the kids in particular is a really, really, really sore loser that the moment they even draw a bad card or someone stops them, that they just pretty much huff and puff, sometimes start crying, etc. It's not good. I will say over the weekend though, we did not have any major issues related to that. So the kids are getting better about playing games and not bailing out and so on and so forth. The very moment adversity happens, you know, I've even done it myself where I've bailed out of a game when we're playing as a family, when it's, you know, the 20th turn in a row that everyone has just completely fucked me over 10 ways to Sunday, and I'm like, you know what, fine, fuck it, I'm out, because it's just not any fun at all. Your guys aren't even doing things strategically, you know, you're purposefully wasting all your shit and making yourselves lose just because it's going to hurt me while someone else runs away with the game. Yeah, it's just annoying at that point. So, but anywho, I'm not going to rant any further on that. Specifically, you know, point is that I would prefer to not spend money on a shit game with terrible reviews and awful bugs, when I can save that money, put it towards things that I do want that will be fun, you know, in a much quicker capacity. So, as opposed to waiting around for it to get good. But, all right, so moving on though. We do have pre-orders right now for the Wave 1 of the Lumineth Realm Lords. Obviously, they put out a box set a few months back. I don't remember exactly. I want to say it was May? I don't remember exactly when they put out that army set. And admittedly, now I'm kind of kicking myself wishing I'd gotten it. but it is what it is. As, you know, the guy who needs to collect all the plastic crack, it would have been nice to have. But, oh well. So we've got Wave 1 is currently available for pre-order. That includes Teclis and Selenar, Spirit of Haish. We have the Light of Eltharion, which is kind of a weird-looking model, but in a good way. It's a hollow suit of armor, and it is posed and everything else, so that way, even though there's no body inside this armor, they've molded it so that it still can be built and actually stand up on its own. It's an impressive illusion overall to really make that work out well. You also have some of these Venari Aurelin Wardens. Blah, that is a mouthful. Venari Aurelin Wardens. Okay. Look, you know, a lot of these guys just kind of, you know, take your old school high elves and spice them up a little bit. You know, these guys kind of make me think of like the old spearmen or Seaguard to some degree. There's also the Venari Aurelin Sentinels, which would be your bowmen. There's a really cool model, Sonari Cathalar. She's looks like a wizard type model carrying this big giant smoking cup. But kind of like, Lady Olander, she has this, mask over her face that is molded to her face. Now, obviously to get the effect that they did, you'd have to paint it that way, but still it looks really cool. And then of course, Battle Tome, Endless Spells, Accessories, including these ridiculous fucking barrel dice. I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to let you use these at a tournament in any capacity. I would envision this looking at them, that they probably do roll, you know, I don't think they're going to very frequently end up, you know, on their side or anything like that. But it's just weird looking at it to see a D6 that is just turned into a barrel just because. I don't know if barrels are super important to the Lumineth Realm Lords. They, you know, maybe they're all about, you know, wine kegs and shit like that. I don't know. But yeah, it's barrel shaped dice just because they can. And of course there will also be War Scroll cards available. War Scroll cards, useful. Barrel dice, move on, I guess. And on that note, Wave 2 will be available for pre-order starting this coming weekend, so starting on the 12th. They're going to have these, horsemen, the Venari Dawn Riders. So dudes on horseback. You will have the, Venari Stone Guards. Yeah, Alara Stone Guard, excuse me. I knew they were the Stone Guard, but there's just so many made up bullshit names here. Stone Guards, and basically these are just high elves with hammers. They do look pretty cool though. And then there's going to be this, giant kit, Avelinor, the Stoneheart King, that you can build, just a big giant cow mountain creature thing. It looks pretty badass. I'm sure it's expensive as fuck. And then there's also the Alara Stone Mage. Dude man floating around, you know, good old Lord Croak style, just kind of chilling out, riding around on a stone. So, also, Bandai Namco is putting out some more Space Marine figures, the action figures. I never picked up one when they first came out. Probably not going to look into doing so now. But it looks like they're putting out an Imperial Fist and a Salamander Marine. So if you've got a particular penchant for either of those chapters, there you go. And then beyond that, they're going to be doing a preview this weekend, actually, too. So all those things will be available to pre-order starting this Saturday. But also this Saturday, they're going to be doing a new preview show specifically to 40K. specifically about the new codexes, which we are going to talk about a little bit more later. A little bit of the rumor mongering sort of stuff. But yeah, they're going to be delving a little bit deeper on Codex Necrons and Codex Space Marines this Saturday. So, it is my hope that I will be able to get my hands on both these codexes actually when they launch. I would like to, both from a, you know, or I guess I have multiple reasons. There's the podcast. As, you know, a guy who runs a podcast about Warhammer, having codexes day one would be very helpful. You know, gives me easy access to content, makes it a lot easier actually. And then as opposed to having to wait around to borrow one or, you know, put one together through leaks or whatever else, which, you know, sometimes that takes time to get something decent. So, it would be nice to just have a full codex right up front. And then on top of that, just simply as a guy who is a collector as well as wants to know all the rules just for my own sake. And then lastly, as a guy who's looking into doing event organizing, right now I am set up as an event organizer. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep that up for the near future, just because of schedules and pandemics and everything else. But, you know, at some point, whether I keep it rolling or not, if I don't, I guess I should say if I stopped doing events for now, I don't plan to stay that way. But in order to get back into it at some point, I need to know what's going on. So, but yeah, so that will be this weekend. And then beyond that, the only other really big, like, newsy bit, they have a super stupidly expensive action figure, a Cadian sergeant, lieutenant, I don't know actually which one he is, a Cadian officer, it just says. So, but looking at him, we're going to go with a lieutenant, given the fact that he's wearing a refractor field and stuff. This, you know, this figure looks really good. You know, it does look nice, but it also just, it's just a Imperial Guardsman, that's, you know, an officer of the Astra Militarum. It's not wowing me. It looks nice, but it's not blowing my mind like a must have. You know, and then on top of it, it's like over $200. Once again, not that I'm opposed to Warhammer collectibles, but I would much rather spend $200 towards more models and such, not just something that's gonna just be looked at and never touched. Although one could argue that's what plastic crack basically is just shit to look at that you're never gonna touch anyways. So, but yeah. So, but anyway, that's it as far as the newsy bits goes. Gonna take a little break here. When I come back from the break, we'll be going over the meat and potatoes, which will primarily be focused on some rumors we're hearing regarding what we might be seeing this Saturday, as well as what some of these items might mean for the future of 9th edition. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, I kind of wanted to go over some of the new rumors we've been seeing regarding this upcoming preview. And kind of talk a little bit about whether that's a good thing or not for the game going forward. Basically, this coming Saturday, as I mentioned earlier on in the episode, we have a 40K preview focused on the codexes, the Codex Necron and Codex Space Marine. Now, I'm super excited to see what, you know, they're going to do with these new codexes, because I feel like in many ways, this is going to set the bar for what we can expect out of 9th edition going forward. Namely, the Necron Codex. It's kind of the more important of the two codexes as far as what we're going to take away from the game henceforth. Or, I guess I should say rather, the difference between the two codexes is more the important factor. The big thing is right now, we're seeing leaks and stuff regarding the preview, specifically related to the Space Marine Codex. There is a table of contents that is blurry as fuck, for starters. And then there is a little bit of, and also pulling out old rumors that are related to the Space Marines thing. Namely, there's an old picture from sometime last year that featured what looked like a new land speeder variant, probably Primaris. There's an article on Spiky Bits that points out the fact that the Gladiator, the tank that they showed off last month, I don't remember exactly, it was on one of the previews, they showed off this Gladiator tank that, you know, kind of go, you know, ties in with this picture. So it's, you know, looks like it's definitely legitimate and stuff. And the article goes on to point out that they did kind of dig into this super blurry table of contents and some of these blurry ass potato pictures to see what's jumping out at us. Namely, it points out a captain with Mastercrafted heavy bolt rifle. There's also a Tech Marine Intercessor squad, a heavy intercessor squad, something called the Stormspeeder Hellstrike, and then there's two other Stormspeeders that are too blurry for them to make out. It also does point out the, you know, other new stuff, Eradicator Squad, Firestrike, Servo Turret, Gladiator Lancer, Reaper, Valiant, and the Hammerfall Bunker. There's some pictures that show what look like the heavy bolt rifle or heavy intercessor, potentially. So, you know, what do we, you know, what do we get out of this? What are we looking at here? I mean, for starters, there's the obvious, just Space Marines getting more and more and more and more. I'm all for GW putting out new product, regardless of what faction it's for. And I am all for them, you know, from a business perspective, making their poster boys the name thing that they give all the fancy shit to. I get it from, you know, like I said, from a business perspective, if that's how you print your money, that's what's going to keep your business running and therefore allow you to put out more product. So anytime people are bitching that Space Marines are getting more shit and such, I would say that you need to look at it from the other side to really see the value of what it does provide you, even as a non-Space Marine player, or what I should say rather, the potential of what it provides you. And that's where part of the problem comes into play here. We are going to see the Necron Codex as well this weekend, as far as what amount of details and stuff we don't know yet. But both codexes are supposed to launch next month. The thing is if we see this gigantic, you know, Bible-esque tome that is the Space Marine Codex with all of its new shit and everything else, and then the Necron Codex drops and it's rather piss poor, lackluster, and is nowhere near as well fleshed out, it's going to be a problem. Now, GW doesn't have the world's best track record for, you know, putting out consistent quality codexes. We all know that. They, you know, tend to put out a really good one and then follow it up really with a really shit one. And it's not always alternating necessarily, but it seems like when they hit this pinnacle where you're like, awesome, this is a great codex, then the next one that comes out is just very piss poor, and it tends to, you know, vacillate until they hit, you know, a big one again. I feel like 8th edition did a lot of good codexes for the most part, but there were a few major stinkers, namely early on codexes such as the original Space Marine Codex for 8th edition, Grey Knights, and fucking Space Wolves. These Dark Angels. These codexes were terrible codexes overall. The Tyranid Codex is another one that did not get a very good treatment in 8th edition, and then unfortunately was not revisited. And this is part of what I'm concerned about overall, and why it's very important that we pay attention not only this weekend, but pay attention next month when both of these codexes drop. If the Necron Codex is very piss poor in comparison to the Space Marine one, I would say that this is not a healthy sign for the game going forward. Now, granted, it could be, in comparison, maybe not as good of a codex overall, but still fairly well fleshed out and so on and so forth. You know, and still we have some possibilities here. But if it seems like the Xenos codexes are getting the usual throwaway treatment that they have in the past, then, you know, while the Space Marine Codex is getting this, you know, gigantic book that is just bloated to fucking back, I don't think we're going to be seeing much of anything different out of GW at that point. I think they're just going to continue to do the same shit, where Space Marines get everything and everybody else gets a whole lot of nothing. Now, once again, I feel like personally 8th edition was not as bad about that shit as some people might claim. It really depends on which army you're playing on how salty you are about it. But my hope is that the Necron Codex is going to be as well fleshed out. I hope it's not as bloated overall, but I hope it's as well fleshed out in terms of rules and balance and things of that nature. And that, you know, if you're going to make the Space Marine Codex super powerful, don't leave behind the Necron Codex in the process. The fact that they're doing this dual launch sort of concept has potential to make or break how people are going to view 9th edition right from the get-go. You know, this is basically a first impression opportunity. I know Indomitus obviously had some stuff to show off. And then, you know, all the rebalances on weapons and points and so on and so forth definitely changed a lot of things too. But, you know, we know we're going to be looking at new codexes, so, you know, ranking the current game based on using 8th edition codexes and 8th edition data sheets with 9th edition rules may not, you know, or I shouldn't even say may not, it is not the best way to actually rank the game. That's why these two codexes are so important right off the bat. Now, as far as what we might see this weekend, you know, the Necron Codex, I think we're definitely going to see some more stuff on the Silent King. I'm also hoping that we will see more regarding some of the newer units and see how they compare. I'm hoping that they don't just show off some models. I'm hoping we actually get some data sheets out of this preview. I'm not holding my breath that it's going to happen, but it would be nice. Because it would kind of give us a little bit of something to go, you know, okay, this is looking good or this isn't looking good, etc. The big thing, though, the big question here, particularly with the Space Marine Codex, is more the question of what are we getting out of this? And then in turn, is the Necron Codex going to be, you know, giving us what we need to make the Necrons better? Space Marines, when the last Codex came out near the end of 8th edition, went from one of the weakest armies to one of the absolute most powerful armies in the entire game. Very much overnight. And now it just seems like they're taking that same super-powered army that's already really bloated and shoving in a bunch of more shit. Now, I don't know if the army necessarily needs all this shit if they're supposedly rebalancing tactical marines and stuff like they claim they are. The you know, big thing is overall is like these new storm speeders, this heavy intercessor squad that's rumored. Do we really need these, you know, units if we have units that already fill certain roles and stuff, or is GW just putting out more junk? And if they're just going to be putting out more junk to just fill the codex and sell more models, but not necessarily enhance the game, that's not good, you know. Personally, I'm obviously going to reserve judgment for until we actually see the, you know, the codexes firsthand and stuff. But I am very, personally, I'm very nervous. I'm excited to get new stuff, but at this point, I am starting to just feel like GW is putting way too much into the Space Marine Codex. They already had way too much as it is. And I feel like, too, they really just need to shit or get off the pot on this whole Firstborn versus Primaris thing. Let's just you know, end it. Let's split the codexes if you want to still keep them. You know, have a Firstborn codex and then have a Primaris codex. I know for some people that they would be pissy because of the fact that, well, you know, I have to buy multiple books and stuff. And I get that. I do. But I also feel like they either need to diverge the two far enough that there's a reason to play Firstborn versus playing Primaris and vice versa, you know. And then in turn, do it in two separate books so that if people want to focus more on one versus the other, they don't have this giant fucking Bible, like I mentioned earlier, that they have to dig through to get all the goddamn information they need. It's ridiculous. You know, some people would argue otherwise, that they would prefer it all in one book, and that's totally, you know, I get that logic too, but as it stands, just from what we've heard about what they're doing with the Firstborn Marines and stuff like that, it doesn't seem like there's really a need for all this bloat. And then it feels like, too, okay, we're going to be adding in, you know, a heavy Intercessor squad, adding in some Storm Speeders that are basically Primaris Land Speeders, it sounds like, and shit like that. And it just makes me question more than why are we keeping the Firstborn around? What is the point and purpose at this point? Once again, we will not know with certainty until we see these rules firsthand on whether or not that's actually, you know, going to be an issue and a problem. But I can't help but feel like it is just going to be a bloated mess. Now, in turn, I do not want the Necron Codex to be a bloated mess, but I do want it more fleshed out, as I mentioned earlier. I would like to see, you know, we are clearly getting a lot of new units for the Necrons, but it seems like every week we're finding out about more Space Marine models coming out. Like more and more and more and more and more on a weekly basis are popping up in this codex. These aren't future release, like, you know, far out releases. These are probably, you know, pre-end of 2020 sort of releases that we're looking at here, at least based on the fact that they're going to be featured in the codex next month. You will probably be seeing all this stuff come out here very shortly. And if the Necrons don't get a, you know, roughly equivalent amount of extra stuff, there's very clearly GW putting a lot of work into an army that doesn't need more, you know, whereas Necrons definitely need more to choose from, and they just need better rules overall. But the big question is, after all is said and done, if GW does fuck up with the Necron Codex and it's a disaster, then are they going to address that properly with future Xenos and or just non-Space Marine armies in general? Or are we going to be seeing this just as the general trend, that Space Marines are starting off the edition well ahead of everybody else because they finished last edition well ahead of everybody else, and then just keep that going? That's just going to be really bad for the game overall. You know, I've heard from plenty of people that a lot of armies, because of the points changes and things of that nature, that they've already gained a lot more power versus Space Marines as it is. But a lot of people, too, are playing with unofficial rules as far as they have, you know, they're using the new Melta rules, the new Flamer rules and stuff like that, without using the newer points, because we don't have all of the new points values that are going to be coming out. You know, we don't have that information. We've got little rumors here and there, or a couple units here and there, but in the grand scheme of things, how much is it going to change everything? We won't know until we get it. But yeah, the big thing, like I said, is that if the Necron Codex is a mess, and is not at all on par with the Space Marines, I don't expect perfect balance. You're never going to get perfect balance. And to some degree, you don't necessarily want perfect balance, because perfect balance is boring. It means you're playing chess. You know, that every unit does the same thing, you know, or at least I should say rather, each army has units that do the exact same thing with the exact same stats and capabilities. They just look physically different, you know, black pieces versus white pieces like you would have in chess. And that's just no fun, you know? So perfect balance isn't what we're looking for here, but having an army that has a huge amount of choices, massive bloat, and already has some of the most powerful rules in the entire fucking game, and then giving them more bloat, more rules, and more power, it's a dangerous slippery slope to them just simply running away with the meta after this codex is out. And for a time, I'm sure they will. I'm sure that Space Marines will run the roost for a time. But I'm hoping by having this back-to-back release, Space Marine and Necrons at the same time next month, that I would like to see the meta be dominated by both armies. Because that would suggest that we might be looking at a healthy release of codexes in the future. It's not foolproof by any stretch, because once again, GW is not known for consistency on quality as far as the codexes go. This last round in 8th edition had a lot of strong ones, had some stinkers though too. We can only expect the same to happen with 9th edition. The main difference is the feeling of them phoning it in, basically. You know, like the 2nd edition, the 2.0 Chaos Space Marine Codex is a perfect example of phoning it in. That, you know, the Chaos Space Marine Codex first came out in 8th and it was okay. Quickly got overshadowed though by lots of other stuff and it was total shit. Then they ended up releasing a 2.0 that was supposed to be this end-all be-all. And in many ways it added a lot of upgrades and things that the army needed. But then they released the new Space Marine Codex and it is way, not just more powerful, but it's just better written. It's far more interesting. It's very clear they put in a hell of a lot more work into it. And like I said, I get being your poster boy and all, that you want to have them be the one you kind of have your best foot forward. But you can't just purely focus on them right off the bat, at the beginning of a new edition, and leave everyone else out to dry. It will completely crumble the community. I've heard some mixed things overall as far as the community is concerned, that there's just a lot of people who are not that interested in playing 9th edition, what with power creep coming back and everything else. And personally, I think that's a shame. I want a deadlier, more powerful game, but for everybody, not just for Space Marines. So, overall, you know, I'm hoping we'll see more, too, than just Necrons and Space Marines. It would be nice to hear what GW is planning next, beyond these two codexes. Like, what is going to be the codex after that? I'm personally really hoping it's either going to be Chaos Space Marines because of how they got fucked over with the 2.0 release, followed by just being very clearly a, you know, just random forethought sort of thing, or afterthought, excuse me, versus that Space Marine 2.0 book. And or I would like to see a new Tyranid Codex that shows that GW actually gives a flying fuck about Xenos players and that they are, you know, that they are going to make 9th edition the game to, you know, bring people back and not just keep people playing, but bring people back who've given up on certain armies and stuff. You know, some people are going to play the game no matter what, even if their army of choice sucks. They're going to bounce to a different army or whatever else. But plenty of people just simply give up when the army they like just is no good. So, but yeah, you know, at the end of the day, that is my hope, is that we are going to see a strong Space Marine Codex, but an equally strong, not balanced. When I say equally, I don't mean that they're going to be balanced against each other perfectly. Or that it, and once again, I don't want it to be as bloated as the Space Marine Codex, but I do want it more fleshed out than the current Necron Codex, with better rules and everything overall. You know, I think that's only fair, especially with how much they've been pushing this release, that this is supposedly supposed to be the one that, you know, brings the Necrons back to the, you know, to the forefront. But I'm hoping that that doesn't lead to disappointment. I'm sure it will for many. Nobody's ever going to be purely happy. But I'm worried that it's going to lead to disappointment because of the way the Space Marine Codex is going to be handled. So, but yeah, that's all I really wanted to say about that subject for now. I have my qualms and concerns. I'm definitely not giving up on 40K by any stretch of the imagination anytime soon. And I'm really excited to see the new stuff. I just have, once again, qualms and concerns. So, but I think we're going to call it at that for today. So thank you guys for listening. As always, you can hit me up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter @RegimentalVox. And you can also donate through Patreon, patreon.com/theRegimentalVox. So every little bit helps. Currently, I make $0, and that's fine. But if I could get some income coming in from that, that would definitely help with getting those codexes and stuff right up front. So, but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all on the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.